Welcome to the Central Live Podcast with Pastor Jim Caldwell. At Central Baptist Church in Phenix City, Alabama, it's our mission to make disciples who make disciples. Let's join Pastor Jim as he shares today's message.
Just got a couple of thank yous. It's been kind of a crazy week, I just want to tell you. So Dee Dee has had her voice has just been going out, and we didn't know what was going on, and so we all started praying, and she went to the doctor, and they told her to take a couple of weeks off from singing. And if you know Dee Dee, it just about killed her. And so her appointment wasn't going to be until 2 weeks later. Well, we started praying. We prayed that she would be able to have an appointment this week. Guess what happened? She had an appointment this week. They went in and found out everything's okay, and she just needs to rest her voice for a week or so. And I don't know if you saw her behind the keyboard. I saw her lips moving. I wasn't liking that much, but I want to say thank you to Maggie Roberson for stepping up and leading us in worship this morning. You did an outstanding job. And I'm just grateful God's raised up so many leaders in this church. So we're on the second week of our series, and I want to ask you this question again to start. Is the church just a building? No, it's not, is it? The church isn't just a building. This is a church building, we would call it, but this isn't the church. The word church in the New Testament is ecclesia, and it means the called out ones. It's the called out ones of God. And see, the church is the people of God carrying His message to a world that so desperately needs Him. And so if we're the church, we need to learn how to be the church, don't we? We need to learn that. And so as we go through this series, it's a lifelong commitment to learn how to be the church. So we're in this series called Principles of Being the Church. And the message today is called what? Do y'all remember? Number two. All right. See, it's so creative. You know, I always work at that. But principles of being the church, number two. All right, so let's do a little review from last week. How many of you were here last week? Oh, about half of us. Okay, that's good, or more. All right, so last week we ended on Acts 1:8. It's a critical verse. In the scriptures, it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth." See, Jesus, before he left here, he said that the Holy Spirit was going to come on every believer, was going to empower them for service in God's kingdom. And he was going to take them to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth, telling about what Jesus had done. And so we ended up last week, we learned our first principle of being the church, and that is we're to be Holy Spirit-powered witnesses. There isn't any other kind. That's it. If you're either a Holy Spirit-powered witness or you're not a witness for Jesus. So my question again is, do you have the Holy Spirit? Do you know that you have the Holy Spirit? Do you know that He's living inside of you? And what kind of witness are you for Jesus? So I want us to skip down a few verses from verse 8. We're going to start in verse 12 today. Acts chapter 1, verse 12. And we're going to dig into this scripture and looking forward to see how God speaks to us today. It says, "Then they returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away." All right, so do y'all remember Jesus told them to go somewhere, the disciples, last week? Anybody remember where he told them to go? All right, it's back in verse 4. In verse 4, it says, "Gathering them together, he told them not to leave" where? Jerusalem, not to leave Jerusalem. So they stayed. What did they do in verse 12? It says that they stayed in Jerusalem here. They stayed where they were supposed to be. Isn't that interesting? I think we're supposed to stay where God wants us to be too, right? We don't run away from stuff. We stay where God puts us, where He tells us to be. Now, I want you to think about this. Could God have sent the Holy Spirit to them if they had gone to, say, the Galilee, to the city of Capernaum or something like that? Could he have done it? Well, of course he could have. But what did he tell them to do? He told them, go to Jerusalem. Stay in Jerusalem. Don't go anywhere. Stay where you are. It was a command. Can I tell you, following Jesus' orders is critical to our relationship with him. It's critical that we follow what he's telling us to do. Do you all agree that God knows what's best for your life? Do we always live that way? Sometimes we live in fear, don't we? We live not trusting that God is going to get us through this next thing that we're in or this next thing that we're in. But you know what? He will speak to us when we obey him from the heart. So I got a question I want to ask, okay? This is the one that gets you thinking. Is there anything you know Jesus would have you to do? Maybe it's a command in his word or something he's spoken to your heart that you haven't fully obeyed. Is there anything in your life? Yeah, I'm getting personal. Okay. Is there anything in your life that you know of, that you're aware of, that maybe you haven't obeyed? You haven't done what you were supposed to do. Can I tell you, it's time for us to obey, each individually and as the body of Christ at Central Baptist Church. Whatever he's told you to do, now's the time to do it in faith. Do you believe that? If God tells us to do it and we know we're supposed to do it, what should we do? We should do it, right? We just need to do it. Now's the time to do it. We need to obey God and leave the consequences to him. Just obey. Just trust. Do what he says. No matter how hard it is, no matter what is required of us, do you know God will always supply everything we need to be able to obey him? Every time. He'll supply everything that we need. Look at verse 13 with me. It says, when they had entered the city, they went up to the upper room where they were staying, that is, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. These all, with one mind, were continually devoting themselves to prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. So what are they continually doing? That's right. They're devoting themselves to prayer. They are praying. What a great example to follow, right? This is something you can pull out of the scriptures. You can know that's for us. We're supposed to be in prayer. The word says in 1 Thessalonians to pray without ceasing. And that means individually, but you know, corporate prayer is important as well. It's important that we all pray together. Do you know every Wednesday night we come in here and pray? It's called fervent. If you're not a part of Awana or a part of the youth ministry, you need to be here on Wednesday nights. We're praying and worshiping. Man, we're having some of the best times of prayer I've ever been a part of. It's amazing to be a part of. You got another opportunity. Wednesday morning, 7 o'clock, corporate prayer. We're on the phone. It can't get any easier than this. You can be in your PJs and be on the phone with a bunch of believers that are praying together. So I want to encourage you to that. If you're a man, every Saturday morning, we're here at 7 a.m. right here, lined up, praying, crying out to God for our church, for our city, for revival. Come be a part of it, men. Step up to the plate. It's time to step up as men and be the prayer warriors that we need to be. Take advantage of these corporate opportunities for prayer. Be a man or a woman of God. Y'all, if we're not praying, if you're not praying in your life, you're not where God wants you to be. I'm just telling you, we have to be in prayer. We have to have that relationship that he desires to have. Prayer is like breathing. It has to be happening in your life. You know, there's lots of reasons for us to desire a great prayer life. You know, it might be you want greater intimacy with God, or maybe you want to grow your faith, or maybe you want to hear from God, hear him speak. You know, sometimes it's we're bringing our petitions to him, what we would like to see God do. Sometimes it's giving thanks and you know, a lot of other reasons that we would come. And we know we can stand on the word of God, right, as the foundation for our prayers. Right now in the devotional, we're going through a devotional called the 12 days. It's a 12-day prayer reset. And in that devotional, one of the things we're doing is praying scripture back to God. It is awesome. I tell you what, it is one of the most awesome things. His word is the truth. And so we've got to be in prayer. It's got to be the foundation of everything that we do. Well, there's this really important event that's going to happen in the future. And it gives us great hope for today. I want you to back up in Acts chapter 1. Back up to verse 9 for a minute. Verse 9. It says, "And after he had said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight." See, Jesus physically, literally ascended to heaven right in front of his disciples. It was at least his disciples. Could have been others. Can you imagine being there that day? Can you imagine what it would have been like to see Jesus? He's there with you, and the next thing, he's zooming up into the clouds. That would be pretty amazing, wouldn't it, to be able to see that? You know, if I had seen that, I might be willing to die for Jesus. But you know what? He says, "Blessed are those who don't see, yet believe." Y'all, this is a truth of something that really happened. It must have been so surreal to have seen him taken off into the skies, and then he was gone. And look at verse 10. Tells a little bit more of the story. It says, "And as they were gazing intently into the sky," that's what I would have been doing, right? You'd be going, "Whoa, this is something. There he goes. Behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. And they also said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven.'" The two men here were presumably angels. And so Jesus rises up to heaven. Two angels are talking to him. And here's the promise. There's a promise right here in the Word of God. Jesus is coming back in the same way those disciples watched him leave the planet. He's coming back. Do you believe that? Do you live every day like today's the day? I think sometimes we falter on that, don't we? Because we get caught up in the stuff going on in the world. We get caught up in what's going on now. I want us to look at a couple of other scriptures that share this truth. In the book of 1 Thessalonians, these were a group of people. This was an early book that was written. It was written about 53, 54 A.D. People were starting to die who had come to know Christ. And some of them were preaching, you know, "It's over. Jesus didn't come back. You're just dead." And so Paul writes this letter to the Thessalonians in chapter 4, verse 16 and 17. He says this: "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive will remain and be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord." His coming is sure. It's a promise. It's our hope. We can be certain of it. And you know what? It really doesn't matter what you believe about when he's coming back. He is coming back. You may hear all kinds of different prophecy preachers, all this stuff, saying he's coming back then, he's coming back now. It doesn't matter. That really doesn't matter. The thing that matters is, are you ready? The book of Hebrews puts it this way, says, "So Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time for salvation without reference to sin to those who eagerly await him." See, he's coming again not to deal with sin. He's already dealt with sin. He dealt with that at the cross. He's coming again to be the king. Do you see what it says at the end of the verse? It says, "To those who eagerly await him." To those who eagerly await him. Are you eagerly awaiting him? See, to eagerly await him, I think your focus has to be on him and not yourself. Because if our focus is on us, you can't be eagerly awaiting somebody else. I thought it was really interesting. Any of y'all see the State of the Union? No matter who you love, don't love, doesn't matter. There was a moment in there that I'll never forget that the lady, a soldier's wife, do you remember the soldiers? Anybody see this? The soldier's wife. And during the speech, the president brought the man who had been serving in combat, had been overseas for a good stretch of time, brought him back. And she didn't, it was total surprise. You could tell. But you could tell in her eyes, she had been eagerly awaiting the day when this man was coming home. It took her by surprise, but you know what? She was waiting on that day. She had already probably planned it in her mind 100 times. She already had it happening in her brain, in her mind. She knew she wanted this to happen. But she'd been anticipating it for months and months. Eagerly awaiting. Are you eagerly awaiting for the Lord's return? Matthew 24:44, if you turn there with me, it says this: "For this reason, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour when you do not think he will." Are you ready? Are you ready? See, our second principle today is that Jesus ascended to heaven and he's coming back. And we have to be ready. We got to be ready. Can I tell you, being ready isn't just having a get out of hell free card. Being ready doesn't just mean that you come to church or you come to Bible study or you. It's not about what you do. Being ready is about who you are and whose you are. Being ready is about being surrendered to the one who gave his life for you. Being ready means God is your everything. Is God your everything? Being ready means God's not just a part of your life, but he's the center of your life. Is he the center of your life? Are you ready? See, just having salvation isn't being ready. You can't be ready if you're not obeying God right now. Right now. Remember the question I asked earlier? I'm going to put it up again. Is there anything that you know that Jesus wants you to do, that he would have you to do? Maybe something you've read in his word. Maybe it's something that he's been dealing with you about on the inside. Is there anything that you've not fully obeyed? Because God requires full obedience from us. He requires us to trust him. See, we've been praying for revival. We're seeing it. I don't know if your eyes are open and you're able to see, but we're seeing it. It's starting. Revival starting in this place amongst our people. And it's a really amazing thing to watch. But can I tell you what? He will not move if we're disobedient. And that we're not being transformed from the heart. He won't move. And can I tell you, I don't want to be the one to hold us back, do you? I don't want to be the one holding back revival from being disobedient to what God's called me to do. Do you want to be that person? Of course not. We don't want to be that person. Romans 6:17 says this: "Thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed." Now, how many times have I said this? It all comes back to your heart, the motive for why you do what you do. That's what matters to God. It's not your outward obedience to a set of rules and regulations. It's about your motive of why you obey. That's what God cares about. He's in it to change your heart, not just to change your actions. Because when your heart changes, your actions change. There's no way when your heart changes for your actions to stay the same. It just can't happen. It's all about the heart. Ephesians 6 puts it this way: "Slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and sincerity of your heart as to Christ, not by way of eye service as men pleasers, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. One more time, I ask the question, is there anything you know Jesus would have you to do that you haven't obeyed? Because God wants to deal with it right now. Now's the time. He wants to deal with this. I'm going to ask everybody to stand right now. Are you being obedient from the heart? Have you got something against another brother or sister? Maybe it needs to be taken care of in this room this morning. Man, I encourage you, go to them right now. Don't even wait till I pray. If God's laying something on your heart, you've got something against somebody in this room, it's time to clean it up. It's time to repent and turn and be where you need to be. Maybe this morning it's time. You know God's, the Holy Spirit's working. You've been hearing Him talk to you this morning. Maybe He's saying something that you need to do. You have an obedience issue right now. Well, we're going to open up the altar. I'm going to ask that you come. I'll be down front after this prayer. I'd love to pray with you, but just come lay it before the Lord. You know, we can't do anything in our own power. It's about Him and His strength living through us. So come in faith and say, God, I want to get rid of this thing in my life. It's time to be obedient to You. I want all Your blessing. I want everything You've got for me. But you got to be willing to repent. You got to be willing to turn. And God wants to do that. Maybe this morning you want to join this church. I'd love to share with you more about that. Maybe you don't know Jesus. You don't have a relationship. I'll be down front. Would love to talk to you about that as well. Let's bow our heads right now, close our eyes. Let's go to the Lord. Heavenly Father, as we come to You right now, we just surrender. You are worthy of our surrender. Holy Spirit, work in this place this morning. Call people to You. Get us right where You need us, ready for revival. And God, we bring You all the praise and glory. It's all Yours anyway. We love You and trust You today. In Jesus' name I pray.
Thank you for listening to this Central Live podcast. If you'd like more information, visit our website at centrallive.org.